Today, as we close out our year together, which was an amazing and wonderful year of God's moving and his hand and his power and the friendships we've developed, the love we've had one for another, the struggles that we've endured one with another. Today, I want to share a message with you that I hope will encourage you and to show you the next great steps that God has for you. You know, we've been studying Armed and Dangerous and the concept that God has a plan for all of us. And being armed and dangerous simply means that God is using us to be a blessing to someone else. And what God wants to do is take more of us, separate more of that to him so we could take it to them. Amen. There is a people that will not be fed, will not be helped, will not be touched unless your hands touch them. I want you to just do something for me. Would you reach forward or to the side and just touch someone on the shoulder, please? Turn to the other side and do the same. I want you to understand something. This day, that person would never receive that touch if you weren't in place. Sometimes we don't know that all it takes sometimes is a touch. If I can get a touch from Jesus, my world will change. If I can just get one touch from the Master, I know I can make it. I know I'll survive. And what Jesus says is this, that my spirit I have placed in man, that as they touch you, I touch you. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, so you do unto me. I want you to know every time you reach out to be a blessing to someone else, you're not only touching the person, you're touching that God-given expression in a human form. So you're not only touching a person, but you're literally touching God. His manifestation of that uniqueness that stands before you, that uniqueness that sits beside you, that uniqueness that sits in front or behind you, that is God's gift to the world. And sometimes to activate it, all it takes is a touch. You know, I'm excited. How many here are back home from college? Let me see your hands. Raise them high so I can see it. Don't be ashamed. Amen. I'm so glad. Let's give them a hand, all those who have. You know, today I want to covet your prayers. We're looking at starting a Frontier Bible study on FAMU's campus. And we want to get that going for college kids there. And I want you to pray for that group of young people that will be reaching the very next generation at the school. So let's give God a great hand clap for that. We're going to be coming from Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, chapter 2 actually, but I want to begin by going to Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. 1, verse 19 and 20. Soon we're going to be asking the church to prepare yourselves. And I want you to begin to think about this. We are asking God to give us laymen and women, people who are willing to work in the kingdom, deacons in our church. And I want you to think who, if you were to nominate someone that you have seen around this church that looks dedicated, who would you choose to be a deacon in the house of the Lord? I want you to think about that because in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you to write that name down on a piece of paper. And we want to review that. We want to hear who's been the blessing among the congregation, because we are looking to expand not only our church foyer, but our people into Leesburg and Fruitland Park and the Villages and Wildwood and all around Florida. But we need people to do so. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and we're going to start at 19. Let's read in the New Living Translation. Let us read together. Go. And this is Paul's prayer to the church of Ephesus. It is a Christian church. And Paul is speaking, as you heard in the video, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. And he knew that believers, it takes time to get where you're going to be in life. So you can't get weary with well-doing. You can't look and say, well, it didn't happen this year, so maybe something's wrong with me. It didn't click this year, so maybe something went wrong. Listen, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And that's what we have to get our eyes. Television teaches us in 45 minutes, my life should be complete. I get the intro, the climax, and the end of the story in an hour and 12 minutes. That should be like my life. But listen, life isn't like that. It's an ongoing movie. Amen. And it doesn't end when you pass away. When you get to glory, a whole new chapter begins. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You get out of breath in a sprint. A marathon, you endure to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, God wanted you to know through the Apostle Paul that you will understand the incredible, not just greatness, the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. If you know anything about Frontier, you will always hear me say that God is living in you. That as Corinthians says, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in you? That means that there is incredible power towards your life that you have access to if you believe. Amen. Look what it says. This, he's going to describe this power, is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. What kind of power does it take to get a dead man up out of a grave? A little? A lot? What kind of power, if someone were to die, be buried, beaten to a pulp where you couldn't recognize his humanity? But when God touches somebody like that, not only do they get up, but their wounds are healed. What kind of power is that? That power is in you right now. R-A-T, right now. Look at your neighbor and say, you got it. Turn to the other side and say, now give it to me, give it to me, give it. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him. Remember, we were talking about thronos. We were talking about the throne of God. It is the power not only that raised him from the dead, but seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. God raised up his son Jesus to be above all other names, to be head of everything concerning your life. I want you then to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He wants you to understand this reality as a believer. What do you do when you face your problem? Do you fear, or does faith float to the surface? Do you get scared? Or are you confident, even though your mind seems like a little messed up? You have a peace that surpasses your understanding. You should have lost your mind, but Christ keeps your mind. Anybody ever had that happen before? You're looking at it and you're going, I should be running and screaming right now. But because he gives us a peace that surpasses all of our understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, we sit in the middle of the chaos until it ends and we go, man, it's over now. And I didn't even flinch when it came my way. That's because of the spirit that's in us. Ephesians 4, he wants you to know this. Verse 14, because it reads this. Read it, please.
Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be taught alone about everything that God has revealed to us.
Stop right there. God's ultimate desire is that we mature. Your age does not define your maturity. Your spiritual understanding does. You could be 80 years old, been in church all your life, and be like a little baby boy on the inside of your spirit. You could be 20 years old and look like an old man with gray hair because you've studied God's word and spiritually you're mature. Because immaturity gets knocked around by the devil. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What does it mean? Well, when your bills are due and you seem to have no money to pay them, immaturity will panic. Immaturity will call in debts and be angry if they can't pay. Immaturity, when the first sign of disease appears, says, oh God, why me? Immaturity looks at a person's flaws and says, I'm not even going to be bothered with them. When you see them as they are today, but if you just let Jesus come into their life, they may be the thing you need tomorrow. We can't toss people aside. We can't get rid of our friends. We need to fight for the people that God gave us. Paul to the church of Ephesus made this incredible statement. He was in jail at the time. In jail. Lake County. He was under arrest. Now, I want to ask you a question. No? Is that the answer already? You already know. If Bishop Yates went to jail, which one of y'all would come back? Don't answer. Because I only saw one person raise their hand way in the back because I owe her money. We can look through the lenses of our eyes and say, you know, that church is going through this, and that church is going through that, and the church is going through that. Man, I'm looking for a church of peace. I'm looking for a church where I can just enjoy myself. I'm looking for a church for my kids to play, and then we go and we eat after service. How many besides me felt like that's really what I was supposed to be doing in church? You know, you got something for your kids, and then you got to find something good to eat after church.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't church. Church is to give you a place to go through your ups and downs, and yet we don't leave you or forsake you. We are with you up and when you're down. when it's hard and when it's easy, when it's consistent and when it's inconsistent, the church stays solid as a firm foundation for your life. With Paul said to the church in Ephesus, don't be stressed out because you're looking at what I'm going through. Everything I'm going through is for your glory. So sometimes you might have church problems. People that you hear something go down. Listen, God works all things to the good of them that love God and all the called. We can't give up on our neighbor that easily. Look at your person next to you. You may not even know him and say, I'm not giving up on you. Turn the other side and say, when you get on my last nerve. Y'all know that last nerve. It's because we are able to stand with one another because of the power that's in us. It can raise the dead. So it can get me over my issues. Amen. Today we are excited because we've got some incredible people with us today, all the way from Haiti. And they're here and they met with our team because we're taking a team in April over to Haiti to the orphanage. And I'd like to introduce to you two people that are working it in the orphanage. And one is Merlon and Deborah. Would you please stand as we give you a hand? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our own Hannah was raised by these wonderful people, and we are excited that they're here today. Let's not belabor any longer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's walk the word. I want to give you an encouragement in the word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, start in verse 1, please. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
When you have it, say a woman. Ooh, somebody off the I'm a woman. Okay, here we go. Here's the truth about you and I. Paul was breaking it down. He was getting real with the church. I love how Paul talks. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Paul didn't even pull the punch. So y'all were a mess. You were dead because of all the sins you were engaged in. He says, you used to what? Live in sin. It was a lifestyle. It's what you did. But I want to ask you a question. If someone were to see you today as God's masterpiece, would they know you as a saved person or the same person? Don't say it out loud. Don't say it. They're like, same? Oh, God. Ushers. Okay. Greeters, ministers. No. You want to be different. When he saved you from your sins, he turns your faith towards God so that your dependence is not on what you did to get by in your flesh, but what you do and release to God in your spirit. That happens quicker than what you could do on your own. Listen to what he says. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Doing what? Obeying the devil. And then they define him. The commander of the powers in the unseen world. Some people didn't even know they were following the devil's commands. You wonder why some people on your job truly do get on your last nerves. You wonder why they're evil. Can we just say that? There are evil people in the world. You wonder why they would act that way, do that. How could they kill that person? How could they murder? How could they disparage that person? How can they treat people like that? How can they ignore those in need like that? How? Because there is a commander of the unseen world who influences people to do the wrong things. But here's what Paul said. You guys used to be in that army. A commander is one over an army. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been pulled out of that army into a holy one. You've been saved from that army to the holy army, the host of the Lord. Now, look at this. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. There are people that no matter what you say, you can invite them to church. You can give them oatmeal raisin cookies. And they still won't come. That's like a miracle to me. How do you do that? You could be the nicest person in the world, but there's a spiritual warfare going on. This is why we talked about putting on the whole armor of God. Because in the unseen world, there are forces driving that person to say, I was going to come, but not today. You have to begin to speak to those unseen forces and say, devil, you can't have them. I command that you loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Amen. See, there's something to be said when you walk in your authority. Many years ago, I had a motorcycle, and I shared this with my church. I had a motorcycle, pearl white motorcycle, best bike ever. E-B-E-R, ever. It was smooth. It was my Yamaha, man. And I would ride that thing, and it was bad. And I remember one day, it was a cold day, and I rode it, and it went out on me at the end of the road. So I took the motorcycle, and I rode it into the gas station right there. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with it. Went into the manager, said, well, would you look at it and look over it while I have to go to work? I got to walk up to here to work. But can I leave it here? Oh, sure, not a problem. After work, I come down to get my motorcycle, and it's gone. I run inside and go, hey, what happened to the motorcycle? It's like, I don't know. It was out there a little while ago. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, not my pearl white motorcycle. Oh, my gosh, what do I do? And in my flesh, I started thinking, man, if I find that thief... You know when someone takes something that you really wanted? They take that last piece of ham right there after Christmas dinner. And I'm saying, oh, what can I do? And the Spirit of God within me that raised Jesus from the dead, that gave all power and authority to me, spoke to me and said, commanded to come back. And I remember thinking, okay, well, who am I going to be talking to? The thief? Because he can't hear me because he ain't here. But there is something in the unseen world that drove that thief to steal my stuff. Oh, I got him now. I stood at the corner of Monroe Street in Tallahassee, Florida. Cars driving by, vroom, vroom. And I'm standing there going, devil! You know I was looking funny. Devil! You made the man steal my motorcycle. Then you make the man bring it back. In Jesus' name. Now, people think, boy, that boy crazy. I remember that night I went to Bible study at my church, and they always thought I was crazy. They really did. And I came to Bible study, And I'm like sitting there, and I said, they said, well, how come I didn't see you on your motorcycle? Oh, man, someone stole it earlier today. They took it. And all of them were standing around, my pastor and all the leaders. Oh, that's so bad. Man, I'm so sorry. Who wants to hear that? You say you got a bad doctor's report. Oh, I'm so sorry. You better pray for me. You better open your mouth and use your authority. The same that raised Jesus from the dead. I don't need your sympathy. I need the Holy Ghost. We take the easy way out. Well, if I pray and it don't work, I don't want to feel guilty. It ain't your power to begin with. Right? So I go, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, Steve. Oh, I'm feel so, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And I said, sorry for what? I said, I told the devil he need to bring it back. He made the man take it. He makes the man bring it back. Now, you knew they thought I was crazy then. And I remember my pastor looking at me going, what? He said, boy, you crazy. He says, if the devil leave, let him go. You don't want him to come back. And you know, in that moment when you know what's right, I just held my, yes, sir, held my peace. Because I knew what I was doing. Now, in his world, he lost his bike. I went home that night. And, you know, sometimes when you're worrying about something, the way you get your mind off of it, you go back into the Word and you study the Word that tells you what God can do. You read stories that boost your faith to let you know, man, you don't have to give up or give in. And so I'm reading the Bible. I'm having a good old time. Woo! Look at Jesus walking on the water. Woo! Look at the loaves and fishes. Woo! Blinded I can see. And I'm just encouraging myself in the Word. And I hear, ding dong. Who could that be? It's about 10 o'clock at night. Now I'm about to get robbed. Or I'm about to get blessed. So I opened the door. I said, hello? And there's this guy in complete Islamic wear. The hat, the cloak, the everything. And he's going this. He says, I'm sorry, man. You know, I don't mean to bother you so late, but I've been out here for hours. He says, do you know anybody around here that's lost a motorcycle? And I said, huh. I lost a motorcycle. He said, is it white? Poor white? I said, yeah. I said, I've been praying about you. And he goes, I know, man. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Man, I done brought it on the back of my truck. I put air in the tires. I filled it with gas. I don't want it no more. Come get it. What? 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 That man was so shook. He's like, I don't know what's wrong. There's something wrong with me. Oh, and it was somebody who don't even believe in Jesus. Don't tell me God can't do it. When you know your authority, you will command things in the unseen world, and the unseen world has to bow down. He is the God of the seen and the unseen. So if it's cancer, bow down. If it's bills, bow down. If it's theft, bow down. If it's the enemy coming in like a flood, bow. Bow down. Bow down. I want you right now to think in your mind what's in front of you, what's been bothering you, what's been troubling you. And remember that God said the power you got in you is the same strength that rose a dead man from the grave after 3 days. And once you capture that thought, I want you to look at your problem and say, bow down. Come on, say it again. Say it again. I want you to look at the need you have in your life and understand your authority. And I want you to speak a word that cannot return to you void. Why? Because God's word can't return to him void. And do you not know that God is in you? Greater is he that is than he that is. So get it in your head and you declare out of your mouth a word that can't come home until it's brought it all back and say, bow down. Bow down. Sometimes you can't play with it. You gotta tell it what to do. Jesus spoke to a fig tree like it was a person. Fig tree, you will not bear any more fruit, but you shall die. La 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 la. Now, what would you do if you saw your pastor out there at the street? Weed bush? You would produce no more birds. You must die. Y'all would think I'm crazy. But I will do it just to show you it works. Until I stretch your faith and you begin to see it ain't crazy to look crazy. God dog it. It ain't crazy to look crazy. If you want crazy, something crazy, you gotta look crazy. I'm believing for a miracle. I don't care what you say. I know God's gonna come through. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. I know what they said, but I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Call me crazy. There you go. I ain't going out like that. I'm not going to let the devil take my jump and keep on riding. That's my bike. Those are my tires. This is my family. This is my church. These are my people. Come on. This is my city, my state, my country, my world. What you gonna do? Woo! You gotta get to a point in your life where you will speak what you don't feel. If you can just get to the point of recognizing you don't feel like it, then take one step beyond that and speak what you believe. It'll change your world. We're going into 2019. Ordinary people experiencing extraordinary things. I mean, the way you work this is you've got to know the ways of God, not the hand of God. Half the church is so used on just his hand. Oh, provide, oh, provide, oh, provide, oh, provide, oh, provide, oh, help me, oh, tell me, oh, 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 that's his hand. God said, why are you asking me? I'm in you. Get over here and command it. How are you going to ever know that you're his? Unless you prove it.
That's right.
By doing what he does.
Jesus.
Oh, Can I close out on a story? I shared this before, but I think it's appropriate at this point. All my children are miracles. Dustin was born late, so late, the womb became toxic. And God brought him out without any injury. My son Justice was born, was in the womb, diagnosed with Down syndrome. And the doctor said, the best thing you can do at this point is to abort him. And because of who's in me, I said, Doc, he can have Down syndrome for 9 months, the rest of the term. But 9 months and one day, the day he comes out, it's got to be gone. They brought in all the doctors. And when that boy came out, that boy started singing from the womb. Is Justice in here now? Justice is the stand up, Justice. Justice was singing on the stage today. That's my son. Top of his class. But let me get to Callie. At the time Callie was born, my wife was the one working and I had to take care of the kids. And how many know we've always been taught that the man is supposed to be the breadwinner of the house? Anybody ever heard that before? Can I break that, please? We've beaten our men to death. Because we think that if you don't make the most money, you're not really the man. And we've indoctrinated our daughters to believe that if the man ain't doing it financially, then he ain't the one. But God says the man is the head of the home, speaking of a spiritual role. He should be the high priest of your house. He should be the one seeking God first in your home. He should have the authority with God and men to declare a blessing over whomever is working and cause the blessing to come to pass. My wife was working, and every job she got, I prophesied it. Our income through her life was because there was a man in the house that walked in his authority. And it works like that so that she was able to provide for all of us while I poured into my children the word of God. But Callie was young. She's probably about 5 years old. And a fever had broken out in the city, a bad one. And my son Justice was really, really sick. So we took him to an urgent care and brought her along. And while we're in the lobby, they called him in, and so we bring her in, and we're sitting there, and they're going, okay, well, it looks like he has a fever. We'll prescribe him this medicine and then take him home. And I'm looking over at my daughter, and she's leaning over in the chair. And I'm looking, I said, ma'am, would you take her temperature? And she took the temperature, and my daughter was like at 101 degrees. And I said, she's sick too. Could you give her some? No, she didn't sign up, only he did. And we're closing. So you got to go home. What do you do when the doctors turn you away? She had to go to work. So I'm at home and we were living out in Groveland. Anybody been out there? Ain't nothing out there but flies and more flies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So we're out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm checking the temperature, and it went from 101 to 102 to 103. About that time, she began to scream. Ah, ah, ah. I had no medicine. Ah, it went to 104. Ah, it went to 105. 105. 105, 106. Ah! Now, if you know anything about temperature, that's death. And I had no way to the hospital. I couldn't do anything. We hadn't had a phone set up, so I couldn't call an ambulance. What do you do in a moment like that? I remember thinking, but I'm a minister. This ain't right. What's this gonna look like? My daughter dies, God. I remember hearing this word. God spoke to me in my spirit. He said, read Isaiah 53. And in tears, I had my baby in my hand. And I'm opening up my Bible. And I'm like, what is in Isaiah? What's it got to do with what I'm dealing with right now? Why didn't you just tell me what to do? God, do you even care? And I opened up to 53. And here is what it said. Who has believed our message? Today, who among you will believe my message? He said, who has believed our message, and to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? In that moment, I realized that in order to see his powerful arm, I needed to believe his message. And I read this verse that says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Hold it. Hold it. You can be put in a situation where that word no longer is text on a page. You gotta personalize it. I picked up my daughter with tears and she's screaming, ah, 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 ah. I held out my arm. I said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. Ah, ah, ah. And she fell on my shoulder, asleep. I reached over, took the temperature, checked it. 97.5. Sometimes God moves, you still don't believe it. I said, well, maybe it was a fluke. Maybe if she's asleep, she's just gonna start screaming. Maybe it really didn't just happen. And then God tickled my nose. So I would sneeze. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to wake her up. That's you! And she looked up at me, smiled, and went back to sleep. In 2019, this power belongs to you. Wherever you need it, whenever you need it, to whomever needs it. Would you stand to your feet?